problem. Somebody comes up with 10 different objections to it, and I'd like to know how to attack it successfully. And I'm not sure that this bill does it. I know the bill has a lot of problems, but I hope that that's what we can find. Excuse me, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, next one of bat is Senator
Cohen. I'd like to take it one step further. I, with the exception of Senator Roberts' problem, I agree with your stand on funds. And I'd like to work with you to sort of develop some criteria that we use for any new sites, new building sites, and that if you're going to have a new building site, that you'd have some different criteria than if it were a deferral in the sense of non-used land by itself. I think we might look at that in the way of you know, not have, you know, having people qualify, even though it isn't a year, a defined farm use every year, but if you ask to get a building anywhere, then you have to come in with different kinds of proofs that you are going to live there and you are going to farm it, and this is going to be a continuing thing. So it seems to me I'd like to approach that problem that way. Now, we come into the more, I don't like to use the word marginal areas, but let us try to, without all the coloring of that word, get down into some areas where we say, on what criteria shall we decide? Do you think there should be farm deferral in smaller parcels in non-exclusive farm zoning? Other than EFU, should we allow deferrals or continue to allow deferrals? And that's where this bill is supposedly trying to address the problem. How do your people deal with the taxation question, you know, moving in one step closer to the smaller acreages?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Cohen, if I think I'm following what you're asking, are you talking about land outside of a farm use zone now?
Yes, outside of an exclusive farm use zone, but areas that would probably, that obviously do, still qualify as farm deferral in certain instances, depending on whether you meet those areas.
Senator Cohen, our position is that land, when it is in farm use, as defined in 215-203, when it's outside of a farm use zone, and when it does meet the income test, and we believe there should be the income test, outside of a farm use zone, and possibly that income test needs to be increased. Okay. That's a possibility. But when that land is in farm use, as defined in 215-203, then we would believe that it still should be assessed at farm use value.
Even so far as within urban growth boundaries?
Yes, ma'am, even within urban growth boundaries.
Thank you.
Chairman?
Yes.
Well, the reason for this tax deferral legislation when it was passed was
primarily a twofold sword. It was for encouraging land to stay in agricultural cultivation. Now, the problem that he's trying to identify is that there are a number of areas where there's surplus of commodities, and that they're actually being given surplus commodities to keep certain lands out of production for the next year or two. And yet the assessors are going to look at that if it's outside an exclusive farm use zone and disqualify it. That's problem one.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Saturday, if I might, even inside the farm use zone.
Okay, well, that could be. That could be. Yeah, either way. The second thing is that you have lands which are, I want to get Senator Cohen's attention, so I listen to her. I guess the point I want to make, you've made a point here about lands inside an urban growth boundary. You have lands inside an urban growth boundary the cities can't serve, that there is no use for that land, that are zoned in industrial use or other uses, and the only thing they can do is to continue farming it until public facilities are brought to them. That's a second question. The third question, I don't know how you're going to have lands right now that if they're 20-acre sites or they're 10-acre sites that are outside a zoned area and outside the urban growth boundary that people are going to go amok and build a house on for a number of reasons. If they aren't there by now, the chances are they won't be there, even if they could build it because of other permits. But I just don't see what the big problem is here in this farm, particularly an exclusive farm use versus the urban growth boundary, when in fact we're trying to look at land use here. And currently what we're saying is that we're going to make it so rough that we're going to make everything a conditional use, the way I read this, everything a conditional use. And then we're going to determine and outlaw some uses outright. And that means airports and some other things. I really don't understand why we're doing it. I believe the other gentleman, I'd table this turkey and get on with our job. But we aren't going to do it, so I'll listen. But this idea that land use doesn't have a bearing inside the urban growth boundary for EFU, or that they shouldn't receive a tax deferral, is something that really gets my motor going, because I think they should. Simply, we got land in multiple.
I'm not arguing with you, Tim.
All right.
Well, you should have been in my committee on 2:30.
I'd exit while you can.
You better get out of here. I'm just tired.
I think I'll leave before I have three strikes.
And I don't see where the Farm Bureau is for this.
Mr. Allison?
Sheesh.
Yeah, we got the committee warmed up.
And I wouldn't take it as a cue to misuse us either.
Mr. Chairman, I am Jim Allison. I live at Route 3, Box M73, Sherwood. I also am a registered lobbyist, but today I am appearing as an individual because our association has not been involved with farm taxation and farm deferral, etc. That's not an issue that we've been involved with. I'm somewhat reluctant to say that I agree with Senator Day.
Wish you wouldn't. The association bothers me a bit.
This is a very, very complex bill. I'm concerned about what happens when numerous small parcels in the hills, which do not qualify as marginal land, are rezoned to EFU. It appears that the owners will be forced to live in mobile homes until and unless they ever gross $20,000. Assume a person owns 10 acres, now zoned AF-10, and has his home on his land. His area is in an exception area approved by LCDC. He is on farm deferral. The bill, from the bill drafted, has become law. Then apparently he applies to the county commission to have his 10 acres in his home rezoned to EFU. Now, it's true. Other parts of Chapter 215 state that, you know, an EFU zone has got to be in conformance with the comprehensive plan, and it may require the county to amend the plan. But do the drafters or sponsors of this bill intend to allow somebody who has a small acreage with his home on his land to come in and say, oh, okay, I want to be EFU now? That seems to me to be have terrible far ramifications as to who gets to come in and be EFU after they've got their home on the land. The person who doesn't have his home on his land, he may be reluctant as heck to come in and request to be EFU, because as soon as he gets to be in the EFU zone, he just gave up building a house. He's going to have to live in a mobile home. Now, for those people who are in EFU zones, as I read the bill and based upon past testimony that I've heard today, it looks like some poor farmer in an EFU zone who decides to plant an orchard and has to wait 6 or 7 years before he gets any income is going to have a heck of a time meeting the income requirement to continue his special taxation. I may not understand the bill, but that's what it appears.
Misinformation about that particular point.
Pardon?
I think there's a lot of misinformation about that particular point.
Well, but you heard testimony before from the Farm Bureau people that you have to come in and prove your income each year, and if you don't prove your income, you got problems. Well, the guy who's planted his land all to orchard is going to have income problems.
Mr. Chairman, could I ask a question?
Senator Robert.
Would you the specific provision of the bill you referred to has to do with this, the right to build a home that isn't already there. I didn't understand your example with reference to the person who's already there, say on a 10-acre plot and already has his house there, how you saw this bill is affecting. You were talking about them applying to get into an exclusive farm use zone.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Roberts, as I understand this bill, the intention by 1987 is to have only those people, those owners, who are in exclusive farm use zone to be able to have the special tax assessment. That's my understanding of the current language.
Or in the marginal land.
Okay, well, you know, my feeling is that I can't find any marginal lands in Washington County, so under definition. So here he is. He has his home. He has his 10 acres. He's on farm deferral. He's not marginal lands. He's in an exception area already approved by LCDC. And he didn't like the idea of now having to pay taxation on 9 acres of land at market value instead of on farm value.
So
he comes in and applies to be zoned EFU.
So your interpretation is, and we'll check on this, I don't think it's true, but your interpretation is that that owner that's already located there on a small plot would suddenly have his taxation basis changed because of this law.
That's my understanding of the bill.
Let's check that one out then.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, am I incorrect? I can go home right now.
No, I think that part's true.
Okay, all right.
That's true too.
Yeah, okay. Right. So
I want to know. I'm trying to identify these
things. I see a terrible administrative problem of all these people with houses coming in and saying, gee, I want to be in exclusive farm use zone now, because all hell's going to break loose on January the 1st, 1987, because if this goes in effect, down goes the value of an awful lot of land in this state with a subsequent shift. Now, let me make this statement. I understand and have for a good many years the significant advantage of people being on farm deferral. And there may very well be a reason to examine that tax aspect of the thing. But I suggest that the proper way to do that is strictly on a bill that deals with taxation and its alleged evils, and not try to mix it up with land use planning.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Day.
I don't know how you're going to do that, because they're directly linked, and I think that's wishful thinking. They are directly linked with the question. One of the major reasons for selling this program in 1968 was to preserve land, as a land use effort, a taxation method for land use preservation. That's what was sold the legislature on. If you were here, you'd know that. I don't know whether you were, but that's what it was sold on. I don't know how you expect to separate it now.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Well, perhaps I didn't make myself clear. I think it should be taxation has generally been dealt with in a taxation committee. Now, I'm not suggesting that this committee cannot deal with it.
Mr. Allison, this bill does have a subsequent referral to revenue.
Okay, all right.
It does have to go through the...
If this legislature decides that there has to be something done vis-a-vis the taxation and the alleged advantages or abuses of it, and if you're going to in fact eliminate the farm deferral, and you're only going to have farm taxation if you're an exclusive farm use zone, then I request that you devise a system to phase it in and not drop the bomb all at one particular time, because although some of us know about the 1987, a lot of people aren't. There may be something to set in favor of saying to those people outside of a exclusive farm use zone, so long as the land doesn't support a house and send kids to school, you get a special deal. But once you've got a small parcel with a house full of kids demanding police, fire, and school, then perhaps there is an area where there needs to be some adjustment. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Allison. Hector McPherson?
Mr. Chairman, you just called one name, but there's always two of us up here.
Two, yes, sir.
I'm Hector McPherson, farmer from Linn County, representing Ag for Oregon.
I'm Lois Kanegi, farmer from Benton County, representing agriculture for Oregon.
I think we ought to start right back at ground zero here first. Right. I'd like to start even before you give your comment. Why do we have farm use assessment in the first place? And the thing that hasn't been mentioned here is because farmers have given up the development rights of their land, and that's what we're fighting about here. They've given up something that's probably a lot more valuable, at least some of them think, than what they're getting back in taxes. I tend to think it's a pretty good balance, and so that really is what we get to. But when they have both, and you've had a number of people appear before this committee who really wanted to have both houses and the tax advantages that go with being a farmer. And so I thought, for Senator Cohen particularly, I wanted to point this out, that we've given up the development rights in our land, and for that reason we think we're entitled to reasonable taxation for our farm. Now, Lois.
And while we certainly agree with Farm Bureau policy on their strong policy and stand on no new non-farm housing and no new non-farm partitions in the EFU zone, we do believe that our viewpoint on the tax deferral, having having an income test in EFU land, has some merit. And I would call your attention to the fact that that does not necessarily mean an annual application. For instance, on I believe it's on page 12, line 14, 15. If the owner fails to notify the assessor within the time allowed under this subsection, a penalty is imposed. And what they're talking about, if the owner fails to notify the assessor that their gross income was not sufficient, and it could certainly go out with the assessor's statements that if your income falls below $500, gross, mind you, gross income for a farm, please notify us because in that year you would not be eligible. Now, $500 gross income is very minimal income. Some days ago, I believe it has a date of April 11th, I gave to you, Agriculture for Oregon passed out for you, a summary statement of about 6 pages. And I think because there has been so much confusion on this tax discussion in the testimony, I would like to read for you several paragraphs, the section on improvements to farm value from that statement, dated April 11th, if you have it in your folders. Under current law, land in EFU zones in farm use is entitled to farm value assessment. There is no income threshold. Land not in an EFU zone can qualify for farm value assessment if it meets a very low threshold gross income test, $500 to $2,000, depending on number of acres. And as you know, the $500 test is for parcels 5 acres or smaller, and then it's $100 per acre up to 20 acres. The farm value assessment program, of course, shifts part of the property burden to urban taxpayers. And not very often do Mr. Wilson and I come out on the same side of a subject, but on this we do agree that the farm value assessment program does shift part of the property tax to urban taxpayers. Abuse of the program on EFU lands and non-EFU lands arouses criticism not just of the tax program, but of planning as well. Agriculture for Oregon is sensitive to the criticism, and we want to cut down on the abuse. And let me give you an illustration of the abuse. A neighbor of mine has a 2-acre home parcel in the EFU zone. When the assessor was out on his, I believe they make the inspections every 6 years in Benton County, he commented to her, she was growing flowers then for a neighboring vegetable stand and took the flowers over there. He said, well, now if you would grow those flowers, which she was doing as a hobby, and intend to make an income, you can ask for an EFU tax assessment on your property. And her property was obviously a rural residence that happened to be appropriately so included in the broad sweep of the EFU brush stroke. But it's this kind of abuse that we think needs to be cut down. So we propose to establish an income threshold for land. The threshold would be low, $500 gross again, but landowners would be required to subtract the purchase price of livestock from the gross income. We are suggesting this because sale of livestock is the easiest way to meet the income threshold and the easiest way to abuse the privilege. More important, Agriculture for Oregon does propose to eliminate farm value assessment over time, not suddenly, but gradually, from rural land not within EFU zones. This non-EFU land has been set aside in the planning process for rural residential, not for farm use. And even if it has an RR10 designation now, the planners can put that RR designation, that rural residential designation, down to 2 acres if they wish. And again, there is a development value there.
Would the passage of this bill affect the tax status of a pre-existing 10-acre lot inside an EFU zone with a house on it?
Only if they did not make on that 10 acres a gross income of $500, subtracting the purchase price of the livestock. And certainly that 10 acres can very easily make a gross income of $500 without livestock. Just by renting it out, it would have...
Is that a difference from today?
At the present time, they have the tax and they have the farm tax deferral if they have the intent to make a profit. They can only say to the assessor that they intend to make a profit, and then they get it.
But if they are within that 10-acre plot with a house on it, mm-hmm. which is now within exclusive farm use zone, mm-hmm. does not really have to qualify then as a farm, and yet they get the tax benefit.
The only qualification, and this is a new qualification, because the present qualification is that they must intend to make a profit. Our new qualification is that they should have some gross income.
Proposed in 237.
Proposed in 237.
Okay,
right.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Sir Dick.
Let's go through the same fact situation. In an EFU, presumption is they're farming if they say so. Is that correct? And they're entitled to farm deferral. Is that right?
Right,
and
the present...
All right. The change you want to affect is, I guess what bothers me about what you're saying is that I can see land that you then remove the deferral that starts, we see pockets of development through there because not everyone, these smaller parcels, not everyone's necessarily going to go at it the same way you're suggesting. And either they end up having to sell to someone in a larger parcel or it becomes taxed under the normal tax assessment, and it defeats the very thing of trying to hold the part and parcel outside the urban area. And so I guess I see this whole move. I can understand your concerns inside the urban growth boundary, and there's some valid arguments for and against that. But outside that area, why we would want to shift that at this point, all I can see, it looks to me like, is some poor stiff out there that may keeping it in farm, may not be raising a lot, but he's keeping it rural. Isn't that our purpose?
Well, I think I'd like to tackle that one a little bit, because the problem we get, a lot of people out there on 5 acres are not really keeping it rural, they're making it urban. And the problem is they're bringing along all those urban problems.
Right, where actually, are the urban problems they're bringing along? Where are they?
Dogs, I suppose, are probably the one that probably caused greater problems than anything else. There's a whole catalog of them. Of the kinds of things that you get into when you have a lot of people in a farming area.
Well, I guess
the thing that I guess that I get back to, Senator Day, is that we have an EFU zone to keep people from cutting it up. If you're in that zone and have a large enough acreage so that you're giving up something, then you should get the tax advantages. If you have such a small parcel and are using it only as a residence, is there a good reason why you should have that deferral type taxation?
Hmm.
I'm asking questions rather than answering them.
I guess I'd like to finish that if I may, and then I'll be quiet. I guess what bothers me is all through this, there's some feeling like we're going to afford the tax deferral, but we're only going to do it for those who meet the litmus test. It almost looks like we're starting the segregation element out here, and I don't like it worth a damn, because I don't think that's what we intended. Good faith effort, if they give up their development rights, whether they own 5 acres or they own 500, they're giving up something.
And I can sympathize with the test sometimes when their crops are taken out of production, because that's what the Farm Bureau was talking about here, and there is major things underway, and that's a separate problem that I don't think we figured would be in the test. But I guess, sure, sometimes they may have a dog, but I've seen a lot of farms I've gone to, and there are a lot of, they have a lot of dogs, and we've responded as a legislative program on the right to farm to get rid of these nuisances. But I don't know. I hear some people, it's almost like we're going to create the snobbish class or the Rockefellers of Oregon agriculture, and I don't like it. It just burns me up. So you're getting me hot about it, and I'll be quiet, but I don't like it.
Mayor Cohen?
Is there any intermediate where we can actually tax people for the home and the kids and the dogs, if you will, on those suburban, rural type things without giving them full farm deferral or you get, we don't have, you either get a, right now you either get a full farm, you get a farm deferral or you get nothing. And it seems to me that we ought to have a way to really make these people pay their way, both in the school district and for the roads and for that whole kind of area, and to make it and yet to give some, you know, to be able to look at this in a more of a fairness question rather than an all or nothing. So that we don't skew it to give somebody advantage to either try to cut up further their 15 acres into 2 or 5 just because that's a good way to do it, or they can, you know, need to sell off 5 to kind of make a go for taxes as they string it along for another 3-4 years. But I'm looking for some way we might be able to do some intermediate step there. I don't know if that's possible.
Well, I don't think that the legislature's ever... Now, these are sections of law that I think have been changed at every session of the legislature that I'm aware of since 1973. Mm-hmm. And they've done a number of things, and you realize at the last session that they did divide up between the unzoned and the zoned land and made a lot of tough income tests on the unzoned land. These are the ones we've moved over into the marginal category, which now I think is in a semi-rural residential status, mm-hmm. under the way we've designed it. But we've tended to try and keep the EFU really in the same philosophy that Senator Day has, except that we thought, well, there really should be a bottom income test here. And our $500 was it.
Now, yeah, I don't see any problem with necessarily a $500 income test. Well, I do think that... that even at that stage, there may you may not want an all or nothing. I mean, there may be you maybe should ask them to pay for something. You know, I agree with Mr. Allison.
You
take a look at that,
Senator Cohen. You realize that we farmers out there for a number of years felt that we were unjustly taxed because of the fact that we paid such an enormous tax in relation to our net income. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's been one of the thing that the legislature's addressed over the years, is that the farmer's net income in relation to the value that he has out there usually is quite small. Although there's a lot of variation in that.
Mr. Senator Roberts?
Would some of this, what Senator Day designates as elitism, because the farmer would not have to pay a tax on his home,
there,
would it be possible to change the law to the respect that all homes, whether they're on farms or not on farms, were taxed equally, which would make a tremendous difference then between the individual who only had enough space roughly out there in the exclusive farm use zone for his home and a little land around it, but the other farmer has 300 acres or 2,000 acres around it. And therefore, you would be taxing everybody equally for where they live, but the distinction would be that you wouldn't tax farmland that was being used for farmland for its farm purposes.
I think we have a misunderstanding here. You realize that the home itself is taxed the same as
I want to point that out to you, Senator.
Well, I was into some of the discussion here. It was implied that the only person out there that was being taxed on his living area was the non-farmer.
Hell no. It's they pay full taxes on their home, the farmer and the non-farmer.
I've lost track of some of these differences between exclusive farming zones and so forth. Okay.
there is the 1 acre underneath the home site that the last session the legislature gave farm taxation to, which I think some of us farmers blush a little about. And I say that as a farmer. I don't think that you realize that there, that the 1 acre underneath the home site, only the last session gave them that advantage.
I don't think they should have that advantage.
And Agriculture for Oregon takes no position on that particular action of the last legislature. We are not supporting that action or opposing it. We have consciously decided to take no position on that particular parcel.
Could, Mr. Chairman, I got to get this straight. Under the legislation that last session, that land is that taxed as though it were farmland, though there's a house on it.
Right.
Okay, that's what I thought.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
The house is a house.
But the land is not.
That's right.
But it's not farmland. You got a house on it.
Right. Right.
Okay.
And as I said, we take no position on that particular legislation which is in place.
Yes, I have some points I'd like to mention if you still have time on that have already been brought up here today. Mr. Allison points out that in Washington County, this exceptions area couldn't get into the marginal land. I'd like to point out that we have supplied you with some amendments which would automatically make all exceptions areas go directly into marginal land, provided the people out there want to put them in. The other thing he mentioned that was the perennial crop problem, and we think we've corrected that with legislation and legislative amendments that are not in the original bill. Now,